BA6 is too much. Too much, you know, I've done a frequency response test on the BA6A because I have one here. And I use them in the recording studio, but the only time I use them is when I want to roll something off, like some brittle synthesizer sound that's, you know, tearing my head off. I run into a BA6 and everybody nods because, you know, you've taken off a top octave. And so I think it was doing that with your voice, you know. It was too much of a sock over the mic. I like the way I have it set now. You know, I like audio file settings, but, you know, punch is good, too. Every broadcast engineer faces that dilemma, you know. So I'm going to hazard a guess that taking it out of the line is just creating a little more transparency. And if the RCA, you know, is the only tube amplification in the line, then you're good to go. I think this is a good setup. But, yeah, it's... I'll make it through that part of town at some point, and we'll have what the CBers call the eyeball, and that'll be good. Looking forward to that. I'll let you get to your work destination. I'm sure you're minutes away from getting a QRT here. So, but yeah, we're back in style, and I must say, break-in operation is much more me. I enjoy the roundtables, as you know. Everybody has a lot to bring to the table, but you know, I come from the communicate and then listen and then react kind of thing, and with some break-in, I can never react because I'm sitting here writing notes, you know, going, well, I got to remember to talk about the BA6, and you know, a guy with who's running on four cylinders where the brain cells can't enjoy that as much because he has to write things down. So yeah, it's all mechanical engineering, and I'll send you some new pictures. I've got some, you know, some gear porn I can send you there. I tore up the circuit boards and went point-to-point wiring, so it's, what can I say, it looks like a Collins now, and I upped the price tag in the process. I found the market was too crowded with people with tube sockets on PC boards, so I decided to build Harley Davidson's like American Chopper instead. I think I'll be happier with I'll sleep at night better. All right, back to you, Paul. What else? Any other notes here? Oh, guess what I bought? I think I sent you a picture of this, actually. I recently purchased a Studer A800 24-track multitrack. Now, if you've ever seen one of those, they stand about 5 feet tall and 3.5 feet wide, and you know, has the big meter bridge on top, and it's 2-inch tape. And I was going to store them at the house here, but a friend of mine has a small studio in North Miami with a Trident console, 32-channel Trident console. So we are transporting these things over there. And in the next few days, I'll be bringing them to life and massaging them. So I'll have a 24-track room I can work out of to record that has a Studer, which cost the studio I purchased them from the studio I used to work for, New River. They cost $103,000. No, I take that back. $93,000. They cost $93,000 in 1990. And I bought them for $2,000 a piece. I'll probably spend $3,000 to make them work right, but I could turn them around for $10,000. Meanwhile, I'll keep them around for about a year and do some nice recording. A lot of old analog 24 masters I need to transfer to the Pro Tools format. So what better machine to pass your tapes through than a Willie's Finest? So we're all buying gear these days. Anyway, good talking to you. I'm sure you have to get to work. I'm long-winded because I'm making up for last time. Talk to you soon. WA3 VJB, Kilowatt Bravo 4, Yankee X-Ray Tango, Fort Lauderdale.